today on Real Radio.
When you as a Christian, when somebody says, are you a Christian? Yep. How did Jesus die for my sins on the cross? Isn't that what you guys preach? Yes. How did that happen? You better be able to answer them. If you cannot answer them, then how do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sin?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with the message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later became the leader of the first church. In Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. In part one of our study, Peter is challenging us to be on guard, always ready to give an answer to our faith at a moment's notice, and to live in great anticipation of the Lord's return. There will be times when we are threatened simply for doing good, but when we know what we believe and are confident in our faith, our awesome testimony will shine through with God's love in the midst of a hostile and dying world. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we're not supposed to put God in a compartment, only bringing him out when it's convenient. If our lives don't emanate Christ, we're not going to make a difference. We'll only be indeed supporting our lack of knowledge. The world, in general, isn't reading the Bible. They're reading us and how we live. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Conventional wisdom. Do you know what I mean by that? Conventional wisdom is what the breeze is saying, what the tide is bringing in. It's whimsical. It's we would use the word political correctness as well. Conventional wisdom. It's wisdom of the day versus God's wisdom, which is eternal. The Christian should be able to speak into that and to give an answer. This can only happen by sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, setting apart, making it very obvious that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Now, listen, the fact that Jesus is the Lord of your life, it means, listen, I'm going to pause for effect. It means that you do not put God in a compartment and talk to him or bring him out when it's convenient. When that's the case, when you bring God out when it's convenient, you're living a life that is unsanctified to God. You may name the name of Jesus, but you're doing and living and entertaining things that are displeasing to God. And that's not having him set apart in your life. So that when somebody asks you a question, they see your car in the parking lot, they assume that you're a follower of Jesus, they ask you a question, and you don't know how to answer. How does that happen? You never sanctified him in your heart. It's just a religious thing. It's not a personal thing. It's not been settled. And so you're not ready. Another one is this, that we're to always be ready to interject what I would say a second opinion. I kind of love this, a second opinion into the matter of things. The Christian is to enlighten the debate or make clarity of the conversation. I want all of you, look, as a pastor, there's no greater joy that I could have than for you to go out into the world and shine your light as a believer and make a difference. And wherever you're at, you can illuminate the conversation. Just ask questions. You know, it's been a long time since I've been in school, but when I was in school, and I don't know if it's taught anymore, but when I was in school, we were challenged to think what's called critical thinking. Yep. Now, I don't know if people are allowed to do this anymore. I'm not being rude. I actually don't know if we're allowed to do this anymore. But when I was young, when the teacher made a claim or something was printed in the book, we were instructed to challenge the statement. In other words, a teacher makes a comment. The student back in 1875, when I was in school, the student was supposed to say, excuse me, teacher, why is that true? Did you know that, everybody? Remember, some of us oldies are going, I remember that. When the teacher says, and this is the way that it is, hands went up. Why is that the way that it is? My science teacher was Jim Short. And he would say, the earth, back then it was way younger than it is now, but the earth's 5 million years old. And we would say, why is it 5 million? How do you know it's 5 million years old? We used to do this in a public school. Now, I don't know how it is today, but do you hear what I'm saying? When you as a Christian, when somebody says, are you a Christian? Yep. How did Jesus die for my sins on the cross? Isn't that what you guys preach? Yes. How did that happen? You better be able to answer them. If you cannot answer them, then how do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Well, because the Bible says it. The Bible says it for you to go and know it and to study it. Yes, the Bible says it. Yes, the Bible's true. But listen, the world's not reading the Bible. They're reading you. And when you say, listen, there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. Jesus is risen. How do you know? How do you know that? Did you see him rise from the dead? Were you there? How do you know? You know how to answer that question? You know how to answer that challenge? You should know how to answer that. This is very basic for Christians. Oh, yeah? Well, where's God? Jack, where's God? Well, God is, according to the word, everywhere. Where is he? He's everywhere. Yeah, but, you know, point if you could. Well, okay, he's in heaven. There's no doubt about that. But he's also in my heart. Oh, there. That's what I want you to say. How's God, who's eternal, how's he fit in your heart? If he's so big, how's he fit in your heart? You need to be able to answer that. Are you with me, everybody? The world out there, they think they're going to stump you on every question that they have, and they're learning how to stump you. They don't expect you to have an answer. But if Christ is sanctified in your heart, you know why you believe, you know what it is that you believe, and you can defend what you believe because you're on your mark and you've been set so that anytime somebody comes along, you can be ready to give an answer. The Christian is to give a reasonable argument. Again, we may not win anyone to Christ with giving the answer. Nowhere does it say there in verse 15 that if you give the answer, they'll get saved. Here's the awesome thing. If you give the answer, they walk away having to deal with it. And that's where you can, I don't mean this literally, but that's where you can wash your hands of your friend or that encounter, and you can leave them to the hands of God. Because you know the people you're sharing with, you're witnessing to people? Don't think that you're supposed to save them. Oh, I've been witnessing to this guy for so long. I've been sharing and he dropped dead yesterday and I feel like I failed the Lord. Why? Because he didn't get saved. Well, excuse me. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. We're only supposed to be a witness. It's up to them what they do with it. But we are to be what we are to be, and that is ready. We have to have a firsthand experience. In other words, we have to be convinced ourselves. And part of this great mission that you and I have as a church and why it's so important for us to get the word out. You know, listen, I hope this is important to you, to get the word of God out. I wish, you know what, maybe we should start, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, maybe we should start posting the letters and emails we get from people all around the world about what this church has meant to them. Maybe you can read those. It'll blow your mind. Why? Some people get saved listening, but did you know the greatest response by far are Christians around the world saying, we don't have a Bible teaching church in our city, and I'm growing. Watch this. I'm growing, and my family is seeing the growth. They're asking questions. That's the preeminent, not exclusive, but that's the preeminent ministry of this church. Some churches are evangelistically rooted. God bless them. We need them. I do not have the gift of evangelism. I will ruin an evangelistic outreach. But I can teach the Bible. Every church has got its pigmentation, so to speak, or its personality, where the body of Christ in total comes together. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Matthew 28:18, you know it so well. This is Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, this is right before he ascends back to heaven. Listen to this. Watch it carefully. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you stop and you say, well, who cares? Why is that important? Good for you, Jesus. How does that translate to me? Look at verse 19. 100% of it translates to us. Go. Hey, Jesus is saying, Calvary Chapel, hey, church, I've got all authority. I'm resurrected from the dead. I'm now a man resurrected from the dead, the God-man. I'm going back to heaven. Your mission? Go. And make disciples of all nations. Make what? Disciples. This is, by the way, this is a popular verse, but it's not an evangelistic verse. Did you know that? The key is to teach people the way of God, the things of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world. Teaching. Of course they get saved, but as soon as they get saved, what happens? That whole discipleship process begins, and it's very awesome and powerful. But one of the great things that we want to be careful about as we look to this validation of our claims as a believer, to make a validation, church, I want to submit to you this morning that it would pre-require or have a prerequisite, I should say, of you and I being alive, very, very alive. And so I want you to think about this for a moment. And I'm talking to me, us, and the church beyond. So to be a believer and to be a church that is validating the claim, we are ready to give a defense to those who ask of us why we are believers and why we have hope. That challenge should cause you and I to feel life. You know how some people put a rubber band on their leg and jump off a bridge? And you ask them, why do you do that? And they say, oh, the adrenaline rush is amazing. I guess, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, it's thrilling. Okay, in that same type of genre of thinking, Christian, the Christian who has determined, I'm going to do verse 15. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sanctify Christ in my heart. Let me tell you, you're going to get an adrenaline rush. It's like, oh man, why, what's going on? Because you are waking up to the Christian life of what it means to be not of this world. And you will experience life as a believer that you cannot experience in any other arena, in any other world. If that's not in your life, why is that the case? Why? What's happening? There's some things to consider. Don't answer out loud. But regarding yourself, regarding me, I ask me, you ask you, regarding this church, regarding the churches closest to this church, and then the churches closer to those churches, and as it emanates out, the churches in the county, the churches in the state, are you with me? As the rings go outward and churches are brought into that scope of examination, the question is this: Are you living or are you dying? Is this church living or is it dying? Is the church next to us, near us, churches, are they living or are they dying? What are the symptoms of death? What are the symptoms when a church is dying or a Christian is dying, spiritually speaking? Well, one of them is that they're not ready to give an answer. They don't answer life's issues. Listen. The church, the Christian becomes irrelevant. And I submit this, I am not a prophet, I am not prophesying, I just see the horizon to some degree. If a church is going to stand in California or America in this current climate of culture, that would mean it's a living church. Would it not? It'd have to be a living church, living for Jesus. That means it's giving answers. to people who are asking from the Bible. You want to have a thrill? You want to be alive? That church is going to be persecuted. That Christian is going to be persecuted. And I believe the days ahead are good days that will be tempered or qualified by persecution. Persecution will come to us. It's coming. You can only persecute a living church. You can only persecute a living Christian. Are you with me? No one persecutes a dead Christian. No one persecutes a dead church. Listen, the world loves a church that's dead because they can get it to talk its talk and to do its bidding. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So, I wrote down some things for me. Maybe they mean something to you. If they do, write these verses down perhaps. I wrote to myself an observable fact. What is an observable fact regarding living and dying as a believer, as a church? What's happening today? I think it's an observable fact that there's apathy everywhere. Apathy within the professing church is growing rapidly. That's an observation. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Luke 21, 34, Jesus warned and said, "Be careful, because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, anxieties of this life, and that day will close in you unexpectedly like a trap." Apathy causes a believer to get sloppy, to get anxious and worried. Apathy causes a believer to not be serious about the things of God. And Jesus says in Luke 21, 34, that day comes upon that person unexpectedly. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, 2 Peter 3, verses 4 and 5. Listen, and you judge, church. Ask yourself, are we living in these days? Peter says, scoffers will be saying in the last days, where is the promise of his coming? Ha, you silly believers. Where's the promise of his return? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Peter says, for this, they are willfully forgetting or ignorant. Wow. Number one, how do you know when apathy is reigning and ruling and arising in the church age, there'll be the scoffers. Listen, there are those in the church calling themselves Christians who mock the return of Jesus Christ. Observable fact, Christian ministry is departing from the authority of Scripture. Christian ministry, departing from the authority of the Bible. It's happening everywhere. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. For there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Church, is that happening today? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. Wow. Jude chapter 1. I hope you're writing these down. Jude chapter 1. Verse 17 and 18. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. How do you know we're in the last time, mockers? Observable fact. The catching up or the rapture of the church, the true church, I believe, is very near. I don't know what near means. Again, it could be today. Is it next week? Well, I'll wait till next week. Well, what about next year? Well, I'll hope it's sooner, but I'll wait till next year. My point is this, do you get it? I'm being a little sarcastic with love. Whenever Jesus comes back, that's his business. He knows the day or the hour. You and I do not. But it is incumbent upon us to be ready. He could come at any time. Get ready to mark this down if you don't know it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or your friends and family in Christ who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. That is an awesome statement, by the way. That is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died, that is, died in Jesus, for the Lord himself. Interesting. Did Jesus ever say he was coming back to get us? Yeah. John 14. Isn't it interesting here? It says, for the Lord himself. I'm so glad he's not sending an angel to pick us up. Who wants an angel to pick us up? I don't want to get picked up by an angel. I want Jesus to pick me up. He goes on to there that the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Imagine the ground is going to spit up out their bodies. Now, I should say their bodies are going to be awesome. It's not going to be the poor carcass you put in there. Just like you go out in the backyard and you plant, you know, these bulbs in your backyard. Bulbs do not come up. You plant the ugly bulb that looks dead, and something totally beautiful comes up out of the ground. Are you with me? Okay, well, the believers are going to be popping up beautifully out of the ground when the rapture comes. If it comes today, my mom, my dad, my sister, for example, they're going to pop up, and a nanosecond later, I'm going up. If the Lord came today with this shout, with this trumpet, with this remarkable blast and all, it would happen in a split second of time. The graves would open up and we would meet them. Well, I'll keep reading it. It tells us right here, if I just read it. It says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. There's the word rapture. That's it. Caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, comfort. When you and I say Jesus could come back today, yes, that's a comfort. Listen, it's a comfort to you because you belong to Christ. Then there's others who'll make fun of it and mock it. And when you hear somebody mock it, run up to them and give them a big hug. Give them a kiss. Say, man, I appreciate you. You are living, breathing Bible prophecy standing right in front of me. They say, what are you talking about? You're a mocker. In the last days, the Bible says, before Christ comes back, people would like you to show up. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. Listen, keep mocking, my friend. Keep mocking. You are biblical. You are in the Bible. The Bible talks about you because the Bible says in the last days, scoffers and mockers would arrive. That's how close we are to meeting Christ anytime now. And we are to be ready to spread that hope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And when you keep the Lord close, you will never be the same. And others will see that difference that the Lord has made in your life. On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, when we have a distant relationship with others, we're not receiving the benefits that a close relationship can really bring. Well, you know, the same is true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't devote time and energy, we'll have nothing to show for it, and our testimony will lack the power it needs to make an impact in someone's life. Both Peter and the Apostle Paul understood this. A devotional time with the Lord is vitally important, and it's why Pastor Jack has a devotion guide at his website. Simply go there when you get a chance, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Now, once you're there, you'll find a verse and a personal story from Pastor Jack from that passage of Scripture. There's a new devotion every week. You'll also get previous devotions that you can tap into whenever you need to. And by the way, we'd also like to encourage you that when you're doing the devotion, write down your own story on what that Bible verse means to you. Again, devotions are there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or you can access it through our Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.